car was at the end, sir.
Oh, the end, why?
Got a little bit of honor, sir.
Well, I wanted to say with you, the main purpose of this is to know what's wrong. That's to indicate the complete support that I give to your proposals. We now get to have the legislature now. And I have been very pleased, as I'm sure you must have been, by the reception of the thought that the press has given to it.
What is it?
Yes, you know that the gas is...
General, how much consensus there could be as far as the press is concerned. I wish I could say as much for Congress.
Well, the Congress starts with two problems. One is against foreign aid. If you can find a convenient way to be against it, second, there's any change in the program because they're embedded in the status quo and they don't want to fight the battles. That's why they're fighting our revolutionary and all the rest. This is an area where really the fact that the procedures like yours, and apparently it's not you, where you've got to fight the thing, and I want you to, in your new capacity, to give all the support you can. And Clark, of course, being Clark, as you know, when he was in the House, was one of those brave souls used to vote for.
Talk to a fellow like Phil Meyer.
taking it out of state.
That this is the long term, the capital and the technical assistance.
And, of course, our concept, right or wrong, I'm talking about the task force, was that the, in the, this coordinator, this chairman of the Council on Foreign Assistance, would have been the fellow they could have looked to account for what the results were and what had happened on the economic side. But under this setup, I raised with Peter, was it's been suggested over state that maybe an assistant secretary of state could sit on the council report. But to me, to have somebody that drops in for 15 minutes and is briefed and then reports to Congress, I mean, the guy who runs the show ought to be the one, if possible, that it comes to Congress for what's going on. He's in an ideal position, but by the same token, there are good reasons, I presume, why he may not either have the time or want to be exposed to rather
work with all those common laws and other problems in Africa.
first.
Yeah. Here's the problem. Let me say just an aside with regard to Latin America, because you should. I'm going to go. Where do we leave a lot of money? The major market, not the special trade preferences, are going to make a heck of a lot of difference for Latin America in the next 5 years or 10 years, or maybe in the next 20 years. The important thing is that the major thing about Latin America is therapy. You have to engage in care. The Latin needs to feel they care. You know, well, of course, you hear French and all of it. So, and when I meet with the Latin ambassadors and all the rest, I'm going to have an dinner for them in a couple of months, and they make the most flowery, beautiful speeches, and I try to make a flowery, beautiful speech back on that sort of thing. But the main thing, we just give them a little smidge of something, you see. That's why I'm trying to search out. That's why we wanted an undersecretary for Latin America, which is not anymore. But this area is infinitely more important in terms of therapy than is Africa, where what you do is put a map anyway for another 100 years, or Southeast Asia, which is purely pragmatic. I mean, those Asians, they've been around so long that, you know, they make their decisions based on who's going to die. The Latin Americans will do it sometimes out of the heart.
Yeah.
And that's why we just got to, and I want you to remember this, that you don't get to bend that over my thing. Terribly important for us to find something we can do as philanthropists in our loan programs and our trade programs that makes them special. Don't you agree that this is important? They got to feel they're special. And Henry, you turn into this. We sat here with you. Well, for our visitors, there's nothing to talk about except that we love it with this not. Well, you said there's nothing to talk about, but they do it out of it.
Oh, boy. Great way.
No, really, there, I don't mean to joke about it. It's terribly important to us and the rest, but we digress again. But coming back to this process, this whole new trust, again, though, depends, I can't emphasize too strongly on the manner who will be running it. And we can set up all these nice institutions. Here is the thing we have got to have, unless we've got people of competence and ability to run the, you know, to a point. So I have a check to see how that all works. What is your feeling on that point? Because these are international institutions of concern. So if we talk a little about that point then, as to how we get more capable people, frankly, into the administrative programs.
Well, in the concept, the very fact that this concept is that both the corporation, the development corporation, and the institute are continuing organizations,
right.
I think makes the difference.
So you can attract people because they can stay alone.
Because they can stay. It's even possible for a nucleus to make a career out of this. And with that thought of continuity, and at the same time as it's drawn up, particularly in the institute, we can get outstanding men for a couple of years and let them go back. I mean, as the concept of running the institute with the nucleus, we then can supplement that with some outstanding technicians from time to time that we could have them leave their university or whatever it might be for a couple of years to cover a given area. Having established it on that basis, it gives you much more flexibility, in my opinion, on attracting talent for temporary periods to supplement this nucleus you have. I really don't see a problem if things were too set up and managed. If I may return to the prior practical question, I think it's practical right now. Is it with Mr. Paston, with Dilmayar, wherever I've gone so far, there's a movement afoot to say, why don't you get the money billion and just renewed AID as it is for a year, so as to give Congress plenty of time to look this thing over. And Mr. Paston gave me the key to the thinking this morning. He said, you know, I said, what's wrong with, what is the continuing authority of the resolution? Continuing resolution. Well, he said, Congress has never done that for more than 6 months. Which, of course, he was telling me his plan is that this Congress wouldn't have acted anyway. Well, my reaction is, of course, if we don't
does, sir. And of course, he feels very strongly that the goal should be submitted to him, not because of any characterization of life. He believes that they will receive more expeditious consideration, proper consideration, but not the four prayers that he would have in any other form.
Very hard, as you know, to deal with our Congress that are just out of your own party, and we
tie all this thing together, it's important.
Oh, I think this economic foreign policy is really one of the constructive moves.
It's a great move. Well, we're just getting it organized. We haven't got it.
Needless to say, the banking fraternity's propagandizing it all over the place. We're also enthused over the concept, because I think even you, Henry, will agree that economics is becoming is part of the base of our foreign, it has to be of our foreign policy.
Well, also the thing you have to realize is that it cannot be handled out of, and much as they want to handle it, out of the State Department alone. One, the State Department doesn't have the qualifications for it. The kind of people that go into the Foreign Service are generally not oriented toward the private economic system. They're oriented toward political problems, which is to their
right.
That's the way they are. Second, you've got the Commerce Department involved, you've got the Trade Department involved, you've got the Department involved with $7.2 billion of agriculture departments being as far as actually. You've got the Labor Department involved with the strain of our labor unions about the competitive rates of Japan and all the rest. And, well, you know, it really goes down the line, and it's really amazing to me, really hard to understand how we have gotten along through the years without having we've been doing it actually through the NSC, but before the NSC, how did they do it? Johnson just did it in the seat of his pants, didn't he?
Well, for example, when we make a
decision with regard to, for example, the oil import quota system, that has an enormous effect on our problems. When we make a decision with regard to airline routes, that's tied in with politics, and that's where this crosses with our national security. But it's also tied into economics. Or let's come a little further around with you. Take SST. Everybody thinks that has to do with the environment. Well, the environment is actually a peripheral issue. SST has to do with balance of payments. It has to do with looking way to the future, and it has to do with America's competitive position in the world. You see, so this is the kind of thinking that we're trying to do. We're trying to get on top of this heap, recognizing that this is America's big advantage, and we piddle it away sometimes. I think we do give it away. Our British friends know. What do they find that?
We want to talk to you about that.